Up to the book of Matthew. Come back tonight. We'll have some more special music. But I feel like it's this time to go ahead and get ready to preach. Amen. And Matthew chapter number 2 this morning. And we are going to finish Isaiah 53, I promise you. But the Lord, you know, I'll be honest with you. Christmas messages, Mother's Day, Father's Day, you know, you try to preach what's going on, and sometimes that can be so difficult. One preacher said there's only so many mothers in the Bible, so you can only preach so many Mother's Day messages. And I know that I have dealt with this passage several times before, and I won't tell you anything new, but I do feel like this is where the Lord have us this morning, and we want to be obedient to Him. And I always say, I've heard you sing Amazing Grace more than once, so I guess you can hear me preach the same, not the same sermon necessarily, but the same passage of Scripture. And I really, what I want to give you is one message that I want to spread apart in 4 services. All right, I got 4 points to this message. I'm going to preach a point Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then next Sunday morning, next Sunday night. Or if y'all want me to, I can just go ahead and preach for 2 hours and get it all done this morning. The one man in the building that ain't married, ain't got no kids, and ain't got to go to work tomorrow says, go ahead, all right? So we'll just split up in 4 sermons, amen, and try to be a blessing to you, preach along the lines. I do enjoy the holiday season, enjoy Christmas, and as you can tell, we like Christmas around here, all the Christmas trees and stuff. The only thing I don't like about Christmas is Silent Night, amen, and it depends on if he brings me anything or not, amen, amen. Matthew chapter number 2, and read a few verses of Scripture to you this morning, and give you what the Lord's laid on my heart. If you're glad you're saved, say amen. Glad I'm in church today, and we'll have some more singing tonight, but I feel like this, I'm going to go ahead and get into the Word of God today. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" If you're in the habit of marketing your Bible, I've done this in mine. In Matthew 2, verse 6, I wrote out beside that Micah 5, verse 2, because that is where that prophecy was made about the Lord Jesus being born in Bethlehem, and that might be a blessing to you later in your Bible study. Verse number 7, "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come in the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped, and opened their treasures." And watch this little phrase this morning. It's what I'm interested in. "They presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." I'm interested in that phrase this morning in verse number 11. They presented unto him gifts. Let's pray this morning, and then we'll give you the burden in our heart. Father, we sure do love you today because you first loved us. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity you've given us, Lord, to open up the Word of God and preach today. I pray you touch us and anoint us, fill us with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that everything we'd say would be profitable and be beneficial to the congregation. Speak to our hearts, I pray. Get glory to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I said a moment ago, I love the Christmas season, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it for a lot of reasons. When I was a boy, a little fella, I enjoyed Christmas for the same reason that your children enjoy it. What we gonna have under the tree? Somebody say amen right there. How many of y'all had a grandma that gave you socks and underwear for Christmas? Wasn't that always a blessing? Nobody had that? My goodness. We got Hanes white socks for Christmas every year. That wasn't the only thing we got, but I know some of y'all only got an apple and an orange. orange, and I'll be thankful for my socks, amen. But a seven-year-old ain't happy when he opens socks. Somebody say amen right there. He wants a truck, video game, a toy, some kind like that. And I'm 29 years old, and I still enjoy opening Christmas presents, and I still don't enjoy getting socks for Christmas. Somebody say amen right there. What I'm saying this morning is we all love Christmas, and one of the main things we enjoy about Christmas, we can act all spiritual if we want to. You know, I really don't care about getting anything. Just give me your presents then. If you don't want nothing, give me yours. I like opening presents, amen. I used to not hate my dad, but hate what my dad would do on Christmas morning. Here's what he'd do. We in our house, we was always busy, and so breakfast was a bowl of cereal, piece of toast, and we're out the door. But on Christmas morning, he'd get up, he'd sleep late. Daddy never sleeps late, but he'd sleep late on Christmas morning, and then he'd get up and say, hey, Mom, let's cook pancakes and biscuit and bacon and eggs and sausage and have a big breakfast for me. Oh, I don't care nothing about eating that food. I want what's under that tree. But he'd always do it on Christmas morning. I told my wife, we got married, we ain't eating nothing Christmas morning until we open up presents. I'm not putting my kids to that torture. And then I had Grandpa, he'd take his knife out, he cut the tape on the presents. I mean, just cut the tape. And then when I got married and we started doing Christmas with their family, they got a terrible Christmas tradition with their family, and I'm working on breaking it. Everybody opens their presents one at a time, and we got to watch them open their presents. They said, we want to see what they got. I said, I don't care what they got. I want to see what I got. Amen. I mean, I don't care what color shirt Charity got. I want to know what I got, you know. But that's just the way we are. We enjoy the presents. We enjoy receiving gifts. If you don't believe I enjoy receiving gifts, bring me one. Amen. I just enjoy that. We was talking about it this morning about getting our kids something, and I spent $60 last night on something that probably ain't worth $10, but it's something my boy wants for Christmas. Amen. That's just part of what we do. Well, can I say this morning? The Lord, we know the Lord, we understand the Lord was not born on December 25th. We understand that. And don't let somebody ruin that for you for Christmas. He probably was born more in September, probably around September 30th. I think me and the Lord share the same birthday. But anyway, some people do believe, some of y'all get that after a while. Most people believe he was probably born around September, but it don't matter. December 25th is a day that we set aside to observe the Lord's birth. And I'm glad he came to die for sinners. But can I give you an illustration? This kind of gives you the thought from a message. Can you imagine if it was your birthday and they was having a birthday party in your honor and it had all the cake and all the presents, but on your birthday, everybody exchanged gifts with themselves and you didn't get nothing? I wouldn't go to that party myself. I'd go take presents out of their hands. Somebody say, I'm just a little selfish. Y'all pray for me. But that's what happens with Christmas a lot of times. We think about everybody else at Christmas except for the one that Christmas is about, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you, if you're like me and my wife, we're working on our Christmas list, trying to get everything together, trying to get all the boys stuff. We're fixing moving that fifth wheel, and so we're trying to buy small Christmas presents this year and all that, and so we're getting all that together. But I wonder in all your preparations, what you going to give the Lord for Christmas? You know what you're going to give your husband, you know what you're going to give your wife, and you know it's going to be the wrong size and she ain't going to like it. Man, can I help you out? Don't buy your wife clothes. You're going to buy the wrong size, it's going to be ugly, and you're going to be in trouble. Give her a $100 bill and let her go to the mall and pick it out herself. And all the ladies say, three people said amen. All right, that's a blessing. I'm just saying, you know, we know what you're going to get. Have you decided what you're going to get the Lord for Christmas? Are you going to give him anything? And I want to look these next four services at four different people in the Christmas store, four different groups of people that gave the Lord something. We find in our text this morning, the wise men, the Bible said that they presented gifts unto him, gifts. They opened their treasures. The wise men this morning, they gave their possessions to the Lord. They gave things that the Bible calls them treasures. They gave the Lord things that were something near and dear to their heart that they possess, but they wanted the Lord to have that. You got anything to give the Lord this morning? What will you give the Lord for Christmas? Now, when we come to the wise men, there are a lot of misconceptions. There wasn't necessarily three of them. We know they brought three gifts, but it doesn't say there were three or not. It could have been five or six of them, but we know there were probably at least two. but more like there probably was three. And then we all, the other misconception is that the wise men did not come to the manger. They did not come in Luke chapter 2. The Bible said that they came to the young to the, when the, and they saw the young child. They went into the house. And so, and I'll say this more in the message, they saw the star the night Jesus was born, and they left where they was at to go find Jesus, and it took them 2 years to find where Jesus was at. So Jesus is probably 2 years old. And then the third misconception about the wise men, there was no drummer boy with them. Ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. I'm sorry. Great Christmas song. Not in the Bible, all right? So there's a lot of misconceptions about it. I still like the song, but I mean, it's not scriptural. But anyway, I want to talk about these wise men this morning, about their treasure, their possessions. You know, the Bible talks about treasures. Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, watch it now, there will your heart be also. You see, wherever your treasure's at this morning, wherever you're putting all your time and all your attention, that's where your heart is going to be. I don't know about you, but I want my heart to be after the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my treasures and my possessions ought to be given to Him. That car I drive ought to be the Lord's car. The house I live in ought to be the Lord's house. This, hey, the clothes I wear, the things I do, it ought to be the Lord's. Everything I have in my life, I should dedicate to Him. Let's look in these verses tonight, this morning rather, and give you a few thoughts. First of all, in verse number 1, I find the discerning spirit of these wise men. The discerning spirit. So as a preacher, what do you mean a discerning spirit? Well, number 1, they knew about the announcement concerning the Lord Jesus. You know what the Bible tells? The Bible said that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Here's why I know about. Here's how I know they knew about the announcement. Why would they go see Jesus when they saw that star if they were not looking for the Lord Jesus Christ? They were expecting for Jesus to show up. So as a preacher, how did they know that? Well, they knew about the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." They knew that God had prophesied and the prophets had said that there would come a Messiah, there would come a Christ into the world, and that He would save His people from their sins. They also knew about the place where He would be born. I said a moment ago, Micah 5:2 says that He would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. But you know how these wise men knew about that, Brother Stephen? They knew about that from reading the Word of God. Of course, these wise men, all they had was the Old Testament. But what they had, they read. Can I say this morning? I don't want to be guilty of having an unread Bible. I want to know what the Word of God says. I'll be honest with you, I got a conviction this morning when I learned you can do this on your cell phone. You ever looked on your cell phone and see what your screen time was? You know what your screen time is? That's where you spend all the time on your screen. Ain't that deep? It's like my definition of long-suffering I gave this morning, to suffer long, amen. But I looked on my screen time and I said, man, I spent a lot of hours on this phone. Now, I listened to a lot of preaching and singing on my phone, but one day my phone was active for 11 hours. And I slept probably 8 hours. Hey, man, what I'm saying, I mean, don't look at me like that. Your phone's active like mine too, all right? If we can compare screen times with screen times, we're unwise, all right? We all spend a lot of time on our phones. But I wonder if we spend as much time on our phones if we spend that much time in the Bible. Now, it's going to get quiet, but did you know in 2019 the average person spent 2 hours and 20 minutes a day just on social media? Oh, me. Help us all, Lord. But did you know that you could read through the Gospel of John? If you're just an average reader, you could read through the Gospel of John in 2 hours. I'm just saying we need to make sure we have our priorities right in this thing. They knew about the announcement. They knew about the arrival of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said they knew that Jesus was born. They knew He had showed up. They knew He was alive. They had a knowledge from the Word of God that Christ had come into the world. They had a discernment. Hey, discernment does not come from that, you know, from that ticklish feeling you get on the back of your neck. That's not discernment. Discernment comes through the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing unto the dividing of the asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." If I'm going to have discernment in my life, Brother Dominic, then I'm going to have to get in the Word of God and see what God has to say to me. Hey, He wrote this Bible and preserved it for your generation, for my generation. Did you read it today? How much time do we spend reading the Word of God? I promise you, I don't spend enough time reading it. Hey, well, preacher, I have trouble reading. I get that. Sometimes I have a difficult time. You know, YouTube can be a blessing. You know, there's YouTube channels that have the Word of God read aloud, and even in dramatic sense, we'll have if a lady speaks, have a lady reading. If it's a man, have a man or a child. And you can listen to the Word of God, King James, riding down the road. I've done that a little bit this week. Just get the Word of God in you. They knew about the announcement. They knew about the arrival. But they knew that the Lord Jesus ought to be adored. They said, "We are come to worship Him." They understood that this king, he is born King of the Jews. They understood that a king deserved worship and deserved adoration. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning, He deserves worship. He deserves adoration. He deserves praise from my lips and from your lips this morning. I preached on this about a year ago. But what's funny about this worship, Brother Richie, is that Jesus hadn't done anything yet. He hasn't opened the blinded eyes. He's not cleansed the lepers. He's not healed the deaf. He's not healed the lame. He's not raised the dead. He's not taken the bread and fish and fed the multitudes yet. He's not yet walked on the water or calmed a storm. He has not ridden in Jerusalem on that donkey like Zechariah prophesied. He's not yet died on the cross or rose again on the third day. So I said, "Preacher, why were they worshiping the Lord Jesus? He hadn't done anything yet." I'll tell you what it was. They were not worshiping Him for what He had done. They were worshiping Him for who He was. Can I say this morning? Our worship must not be dependent on just what the Lord Jesus Christ does. Hey, we praise God for what He does. I praise Him for saving me. I praise Him for taking care of me and meeting my needs. But I worship Him because He is God. And because He is holy. And because He is right and just. We praise Him for what He does. But we worship Him for who He is. The discerning spirit. Number two, the desire that is seen. Look at verse 2. Saying, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him." I see their desire in a couple things. First of all, I see their desire in their departure. The Bible said they came from the east. That gives the idea, Brother Caden, they have traveled a long distance. That gives the idea they departed. Brother Michael, that means they left something. That means they left things behind, Brother David, in order to go worship the Lord Jesus. When's the last time you left something in order to worship the Lord? I'm not talking about leaving your house and leaving your dog and your cat at the house. Thank you for doing that. Amen. Service animals are welcome. Dumb animals like mine are not. All right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you put things aside and say, "This is hindering my walk and my worship with the Lord. I'm going to put that aside so I might worship Him." You know what they left behind? They left behind friends. They left behind family. They left behind pleasure, fun, having a good time. They even left behind their financial avenue. They said, "I'm not going to let anything hold me back from getting to the Lord Jesus Christ." What's holding you back from worshiping this morning? What's holding you back from giving everything you have to God? We've all got something holding us back. Hey, there's people that could probably sing, but you've got a talent to sing for the Lord, but you're allowing something to hold that back. There's somebody this morning, you have a talent or ability you could give to the church. It may not necessarily be singing or playing an instrument, but you got something that you're skilled at that you could do and serve the Lord with, but you're holding back. Don't do that. Give it to the Lord this morning. In their departure. But then only in their departure, I see their desire and their diligence. As far as we can tell in the scripture, they were on a 2-year journey searching for the Lord Jesus. Now, here's what I thought about this morning while I was sitting in my office reading and praying. Time out, this has nothing to do with the message, but I'm sitting in my office reading this morning. All of a sudden, I hear a thud on the front door, the window of the church. And I looked, and it's not funny, but it is. A bird had flew in to the front doors of our church and went to wherever birds go when they die. But sorry, that has nothing to do with the message. I just thought about it. It's terrible, tragic. But anyway, I was thinking about this morning, before that bird hit the window, after the bird hit the window, it all went south. After that, I'm like, man, the bird died right here on the front steps trying to get the chair. He's probably trying to get saved and couldn't get in. Another tragedy of a closed church. But anyway, I was thinking this morning, when they first saw that star, Brother Charles, that first week, they must have been all excited. There he is. We're going to go see Christ. But then week two and week three, and then weeks turn into months, and a month turn into a year, and 12 more months turn into 2 years. Most of us would have given up. I mean, if we didn't find it that first day, if you're like me, if you didn't find it then, you quit. But these men were diligent. For 2 long years, they were diligent. How diligent are we in our walk with the Lord? You know, can I make a confession to you this morning? I have to make myself read the Bible. And I'm a pastor. I have to make myself pray. And I'm a preacher. I'm starting a revival meeting tomorrow night down in Concord. But I got to make myself read the Bible and pray. You know why? Because I got this flesh and this old man and this old nature that would rather watch TV than read the Bible. They'd rather watch YouTube than read the Bible. Come and say amen right there. You know what? We have no trouble talking to everybody else, but why do we have trouble talking to the Lord? And he never runs his mouth on us either. He never tells on the secrets we tell him. But it's our flesh. We got to be diligent, knowing their departure and their diligence. Hey, many people start well, but they don't finish right. You know what Paul told that church at Galatia? You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Many people, I've seen so many people, Brother Caden, Brother Richie, get started, get saved, get in church, live for God. And man, for 2, 3, 4, 5 months, 6 months, man, they're doing good. And then Brother Charles, something happens and they slip up and they get out. You know what it tells me? There wasn't any diligence in their life. That's not a critical statement, that's just an observation. Not only their departure and their diligence, but then their determination. Watch what they said in verse 2, and are come to worship him. They said, when we get to him, we're going to worship. Did you come here this morning with that determination? When I get to church, I'm going to worship the Lord Jesus. So many times we're guilty. I said we're guilty of coming into church, and worship is the last thing in our minds. We're thinking about what we're going to eat for lunch, what we're going to eat for supper. I mean, I'm already thinking about what I'm going to eat for supper tonight after church. I mean, I like eating, all right? I enjoy it. It's one of my hobbies, amen? I mean, you just about got to quit everything after you get saved except eating. Amen. And so I enjoy that, but our minds get so distracted that we can forget why we're here. We're not here to see who has the nicest tie today on, even though I win. But anyway, no, that's not what I'm saying. We're not here to talk about who looks the best today. We're not here about that. We're not here to see who has the nicest car or do the best solo in the choir or the best special. We're here. We're not even here to see how good the preacher's outline is. We're here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We find the discerning spirit and the desire that is seen. But number 3, we find the deterrent subtleness. What I mean is there are some things, and I know everybody gets upset when I use big words in my outlines, but that's what you call a desperation for alliteration. There are things that will try to deter you from giving your all to God. In this text this morning, it's King Herod. King Herod. Now, notice a couple things about him. King Herod, he's known as Herod the Great. Now, he's not called Herod the Great like, you know, Kellogg cereal. You know, they're great. That's not the same word for great. That word great gives the idea of his wickedness, his cruel ways. One man said, I read behind, he was a vicious and lustful man. Married 9 times. Crazy. And in his quest for absolute power, he did not hesitate to kill members of his family. He killed a wife and several of his sons just so he could stay in power. You talk about a crazy man. Notice he was a disturbed man. I guess so. The Bible said in verse 3, he was troubled. When he heard about these wise men going to worship the Lord Jesus, the Bible said he was troubled. The word trouble here gives the idea of one being bothered or irritated. You know what? There are people that come to church and looks at everyone claiming they're just emotional, and they wouldn't say that. They're critical of people's praise and they're critical of people's worship, and they say, well, that ain't real. Well, that ain't right. Well, that preacher, he's a fake. Well, that singer, she's a phony. You know what? They're just critical of everything. And here's the problem is they don't have any peace in their heart, so they don't want you to have any peace and contentment in your heart. He was not only disturbed, he was diverting. He is a king too. But if you look, if you look at verse number 2, the Bible said, where is he that's born king, capital K, speaking of Jesus. But look at verse 3, when Herod the king, lowercase k. You see, Jesus is the big K king, and Herod is the little K king, and Herod didn't like that. He was diverting. He wanted people to worship him. You know, there are people that want people to worship them. Hey, I say this all the time, but the world does not revolve around you. The world is not centered on making you happy. It's not centered on making me happy. I saw a t-shirt one time in Pigeon Forge that says, I can only please one person a day and you're not it. Amen. And tomorrow ain't looking good either is what the rest of it said. The world is, life is not about pleasing you and making you happy. I know that is disturbing to a lot of us. But it's not. We do not deserve worship and praise. This man desired self-glory. He desired self-gain. He desired self-gratification. He was not only disturbed and diverting, he was also deceptive. You know what he tells in verse number 8? He tells him, wise man, he says, hey, go find the child, and when you do, let me know, and I'm going to come worship him too. But we know that wasn't the case. We know reading on later in Matthew chapter 2, for sake of time, we'll read all the verses. But verse 16 talks about when he saw the wise men had not returned back, he commanded all the babies 2 years and under be killed. That's why we believe the Lord Jesus was probably 2 years old. He commanded they all be killed, 2 years and under. What a wicked man. But you know what I love? I love this in verse number 19. But when Herod was dead. Now, I'm not happy that he died and went to hell. But here's what I am happy about. Herod wanted to stop people from worshiping Jesus, but he died, and we're still here worshiping Jesus today. There might be laws and legislation and leaders and liberals that want to hinder and stop worship, but I'm telling you, after all that said and gone, we're still going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ because he's worthy. I don't wish harm on anybody. I don't wish ill will on anybody, but I'm telling you, the government's not going to stop the church from worshiping, and the world don't need to stop the church from worshiping because leaders come and leaders go, but the Lord Jesus Christ reigns forever. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and he will always be worshipped and be praised. Amen. So we see the discerning spirit, the desire that's seen, the determinant subtleness. Herod just didn't come out and say, hey, we're going to kill Jesus. He's very subtle about it. And those things that will try to hinder you from giving your all to the Lord will be very, very subtle. We know better than allow something to deter our walk with God. We know better than to watch a dirty movie and things like that. So the devil knows to be subtle in his tactics to try to get us out of sorts with God. Here's the last thing. We find the display shown, verses 9 through 12. I find this, first of all, in verse number 9, the perception. Now, in verse number 2, the Bible said, we have seen his star in the east. Speaking of a past tense, I preached on this last year too. I told you, I asked my wife last night, I said, do you remember anything I preached out of Matthew 2 on the wise man? She said, nope. I said, good. Hopefully nobody else remember either. But I dealt with this last year about those wise men. That word seen is a past tense. They saw the star, Brother Michael, and then it went away. So they had to remember where they saw that star and just walk that direction. You know what that tells me? They had to walk in the dark. They had to walk in the dark. See if you know this terminology. They were actually walking by faith. They didn't know exactly where that star went, but they was walking the direction they saw the direction they saw it the last time. Somebody said, "Preacher, how'd they make it?" Well, in verse number 10, and when they saw the star, you know how they saw the star again? Watch this now. They kept looking up. Well, preacher, I'm going through some dark spaces, and I just don't see what God's doing, and I just don't see where God's at. Just keep your head up and keep on walking the last time you saw him. You just keep on going the direction that God told you to go, even if it don't make sense, even if it don't even compute in your mind. You just keep walking and keep looking up, and you'll see him again, praise God. The Bible said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. God honors faith because faith honors God. The perception, then the passion. Look at verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. When they came into the house, they came in a spirit and an attitude of worship. Wouldn't that make a difference in our church services? When we walked through those doors, we walked in with a spirit and an anticipation and an excitement about what's going to go on in the house of God today. Then there's the presentation, the gifts. Verse number 11, when they had opened their treasures. This morning, worship, true worship, is not about you getting something out of it. You know, I've heard people say they go to church. Well, I just think they get out of church. They go to church, come out of the service, and they'll say, I just didn't get nothing out of that. Like that story of that little boy sitting next to his grandpa, and they taking up the offering that morning, and the offering plate come by, pre-COVID, when you could pass offering plates, and that offering plate come by grandpa, and grandpa just put a dollar in. And the little grandson saw that and kind of shook his head, and the service went on, and they got in the truck after service driving home, and the grandpa said, I tell you right now, that's the sorriest preacher in town. The singing was awful. The preaching was awful. The fellowship was awful. That choir, they can't sing at all. It's terrible. And that little boy said, Grandpa, if you'd have put more in, you might would have got more out. And a lot of people, they want to get something out of it, but they don't want to put nothing into it. Amen. They don't want to pray. They don't want to study. They don't want to participate in the service. I don't want to be guilty of that. I want to give God everything I have when I come to the house of God. Because it's not about me getting something. It's about the Lord receiving glory. If it don't mean anything to you, it won't mean anything to the Lord. You know, we're good about giving things away that we don't want or don't like. I'm not bragging on me, but I got a set of books in my office that I love this writer. I love reading this writer. He's a great outliner, John Butler. And I've got all the books now digitally on my iPad. Every book he ever wrote, I got it digital on my iPad. Well, I had about 5 or 6 of those books on hard copy sitting on my shelf. And I was just going to keep them because I like to have them. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you know, preacher so-and-so, he told you he's been looking for those books and you don't need them. You've got them on digital. Why don't you mail them to you? And I had to think about that for a while. Because I like those books. I'm like, well, Lord, what if my iPad crashes and I don't have the book? I'm thinking, giving the Lord all these reasons. Because in our flesh, we're easy to give things away we don't think much of or don't care much about. But when it's something we think highly of, we're a little hesitant about it. The Lord won out, and I sent the preachers the book. But what I'm saying is, if it don't mean anything to you, it won't mean anything to the Lord. Offerings in the Old Testament, John Butler said, were called sacrifices. Thus, our offerings should reflect that fact. Too often, though, our offerings dishonor Christ because they're so cheap. Dr. Oliver B. Green said, when visits to kings in that day were seldom made without the presentation of gifts. Dr. Green said, when you went to see a king in those days, you didn't go empty-handed. Did we come empty-handed when we walked in the church this morning? I'm not talking about what you're carrying, but did you bring the Lord anything this morning? The Bible teaches us they brought 3 things, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold, I call the diadem of royalty, speaks of his position. Gold was given to a king. The frankincense is what I call the deity of righteousness. The frankincense was used in the temple to burn incense in the worship. Speaks of his person. And then the myrrh speaks of the death of the Savior, which is his purpose. Myrrh, you know how myrrh is harvested? By repeatedly wounding a tree. In order for myrrh to be harvested, a tree had to be wounded. In order for us to have salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions and was bruised for our iniquities, Isaiah said. Then there's the path, verse 12. The Bible said that they departed another way into their own country. When you give God everything you've got, it'll make a difference how you leave. It'll make a difference the direction you go in your life. Can I encourage this morning? We're going to pick up a second point tonight, Lord willing, and then conclude it next Sunday. But in all your Christmas shopping and all your preparation, don't leave the Lord out. No, the Lord don't, need a... You know, you see this commercial, I'm done. You see this commercial on TV. I saw this one the other day where the lady said, I got us both a gift. And there are 2 watches. And he said, I got us both a gift too. And there's 2 vehicles sitting outside. I'm like, who are these people and what do they do for a living to buy 2 trucks the same day? They don't make sense like that. But we're all about buying gifts and all about that. But the Lord don't need a new truck or need anything like a new shotgun or new socks or anything like that. But I tell you what he does want. He wants you. He wants that thing that's near and dear to your heart. What about, some of you might have a talent or an ability. I'll tell you what we all have we can give the Lord. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And if you're breathing, you've got something to give the Lord this morning. These wise men gave the Lord their possessions. Tonight, we're going to pick up, Lord willing, with another point, and look at what somebody else gave the Lord. But what are you holding on to this morning that means more to you than the Lord means to you? If it means more to you than the Lord, it's an idol. You need to get rid of it. Amen. Let's stand together, heads bowed, our eyes closed. She's going to play a verse of invitation. I preach.